All right. It's good to hear some glory out there. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, John and Jake went into a diner that looked as though it had seen its better days. And as they slid into the booth, John wiped some crumbs from the seat. Then he took a napkin and wiped some mustard from the table. The waitress in a food-stained uniform came over and asked if they wanted some menus. "No thanks," said John. "I'll just have a cup of black coffee." "I'll have coffee too," Jake said, "and please make sure that the cup is clean." The waitress shot him a nasty look, and she turned and marched off to the kitchen, and 2 minutes later she was back. "Two cups of black coffee," she announced. "Which one of you wanted the clean cup?" Amen. Oh, let's see. One more. I like this one. This was really good. In the hospital, the relatives gathered in the waiting room where a family member lay gravely ill. Finally, the doctor came in looking tired and somber. "I'm afraid I'm the bearer of bad news," he said as he surveyed the worried faces. "The only hope left for your loved one at this time is a brain transplant. It's an experimental procedure, very risky, but it's the only hope. Insurance will cover the procedure, but you will have to pay for the brain." The family member sat silent as they absorbed the news, and after some time, someone asked, "How much will a brain cost?" The doctor quickly responded, $5,000 for a male brain and $200 for a female brain." The moment turned kind of awkward. Some of the men actually had to try not to smile, avoiding eye contact with the women. A man, unable to control his curiosity, finally blurted out the question that everyone wanted to ask, and that is, "Why is the male brain so much more than a female brain?" The doctor smiled at the childish innocence and explained to the entire group, "It's just a standard pricing procedure. We have to price the female brains a lot lower because they've been used." All right. Hey, what is my motto? You guys know, right? If you can't laugh at somebody else, who can you laugh at? All right. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of John. The book of John. Yeah. It's all right. You guys will get it here in a minute. So I don't ever want anybody to get upset if I happen to tell a joke from the pulpit that offends you, because I include me too. Everyone's fair game. All right. John chapter 1, and let's drop down to about verse 19. John chapter 1, verse 19. And the Bible starts, or says here, "And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he saith, 'I am not.' 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah.' And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, 'Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?' John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is whom cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchets I am not worthy to unloose.' These things were done in Betharbara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you once again to just thank you for being our God, for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down to this earth to take on the form of a man. Lord, he suffered and bled and died on that cross to pay for our sins. And I just ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts, open our minds up here this morning, that the Word of God may be able to, Father, work a work within our hearts. And I pray that you'd minister to each and every individual that's here this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this passage of Scripture, John is about just going about his business, doing what he's supposed to be doing. And he is accomplishing his chosen profession, if you will. Granted, he does have a special calling, but at this point in time, he doesn't really exactly know who the Messiah is just yet. Then on this one day in verse 29, things start to change very drastically for John the Baptist. Because he meets someone that he's been waiting for. He's been looking for that person to show up, and on this particular day, he meets the Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ is finally revealed, and you see, he knew about the Messiah beforehand. He knew there was somebody coming along that he should be looking for. John was going about his regular business day in, day out, you know, doing what he was supposed to be doing, and he had a special calling from God, and he knew that he had a responsibility towards God, and he knew that he was looking for something, but he hadn't yet found what he was looking for until that day. He was a devoted man, John was. I mean, anybody goes out in the wilderness and eats locusts and honey and that kind of stuff for, you know. I mean, John was a devoted man. He was a good man. But today, his eyes were opened. Look at the main text that I wanted to kind of focus on this morning. And that is down in verse 34. In verse 34, John 1:34, the Bible says this. It says, And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And I just have two simple questions for you this morning. Two simple questions for you to think about. And the first question, in fact, both questions come out of this verse in John chapter 1, verse 34. The first question that I'd like to ask you is just simply this. Do you see? Do you see? John saw that day, way back then, about 2,000 years ago, but do you see? Do you see Jesus Christ? Do you see Jesus Christ, the Creator? You ever thought about it? I mean, when you look for God, what are you expecting to see? What are you expecting to see? Do you see Jesus Christ, the Creator? Go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Look at your Bibles real quick this morning. And you should all be familiar with this passage of Scripture, Genesis 1:1. This is how God opens the Bible. And it says very simply this, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning was the first day. Brethren, ladies and gentlemen here this morning, do you see Jesus Christ, the Creator? Now, science argues with that a lot, and I'm not necessarily going to make this sermon revolve around the topic of evolution, but the truth is, Jesus Christ, the God, the one that John the Baptist saw that day, was the Creator of heavens and the earth. I can't help but when we go over to camp in Wisconsin, or you head up north and you go camping, and you sit out in the open air at night and you look up and it's dark, you're not in the lights of the city, and you look up at the stars up in the sky and you get to see how many stars, well, you don't get to see how many there are, but you get a much better view of how many stars there are up in that in that vast expanse that God created up there. Brethren, Jesus Christ is the Creator. John saw that day Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, walking down, and He was the very one that created the heavens and the earth. Now, you know as well as I do that science, you know, debates that an awful lot, and they try to argue the creation, and they try to argue with evidence, and they try to argue with evolution. But you know what? The choice basically comes down to, who are you going to believe? It really does. No matter which side of the coin you're on, it comes down to simply just a matter of faith and who you're going to put your faith and your trust in. The Lord Jesus Christ and what the Bible says, or what science says, what the scientists say. When you look, do you see Jesus Christ as a creator? How many times in just your lifetime has science made a brilliant new discovery that has completely changed their theory and their concept of this planet or this universe? Well, they've made several. Why do you think that happens? Because they don't know everything. Amen? They don't know everything. I remember watching a special on the Discovery Channel. It was, maybe a year or two ago. And they were talking about a research project that students and professors at MIT had done. And it was actually kind of interesting because they were talking about sediment layers. And, you know, that's one of the basic foundations for how science, you know, dates everything, as the sedimentary layers in the earth. And, you know, you dig down through so many layers and that equates to so many billions and billions of years. And, you know, none of us really know how old the earth was. That's a whole other topic. But I know that they were talking about the sedimentary layers and how they formed. And what this discovery program brought to light, and what these MIT graduates and undergraduates that were doing this research had discovered, is that the idea that they had about how these sedimentary layers were formed originally was incorrect. And they concluded that all these years they had an incorrect idea of how these sedimentary layers were formed, and that they actually formed in a much quicker fashion than they had previously believed. And that's just one example. That's just one example. Let me ask you this. John the Baptist is out there going about his daily business, and he's looking for something. He's looking for something. He knows he's out there. He knows he's waiting. The Lord's told him to wait, and when you see this guy come by and the Spirit descends upon him and rests upon him, then you'll know that's who I've chosen. And John was out there just looking. And then Jesus Christ comes along. And I'd like to ask you this morning, are you sitting here in the congregation, are you looking for Jesus Christ? Are you looking for Jesus Christ? And if you are, one of the first things that you ought to see Him as is a creator. Do you see Jesus Christ as the creator? Again, I know when we go to school, when you go to college, all the things that you learn are very contrary to that opinion. But do you see Jesus Christ as the Creator? How many times, like I said, not just in your lifetime, but how many times in the last, say, 100 years have the scientists changed their calculated age of the universe? Go back and look. Study and see what they said it was, you know, back in 1950 or back in 1920 or back in 1910. And they have a different view now. I think the current view is somewhere around 12 billion years. Somewhere 10 to 12 billion years. That was the last I heard anyway. It may have changed since then. But they're constantly revising. Why? Because they don't know. Brethren, they don't know. It doesn't really matter. What matters is what you see when you see Jesus Christ. And I just ask you, do you see Him as the Creator? Because He is. He is the Creator. Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. In Colossians 1:16 it says, For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, and all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Brethren, I'd just like to ask you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, when you look, do you see Jesus Christ as the Creator? I'd like to ask you another thing along that line, is this. When you look, do you see Jesus Christ as a Redeemer? Do you see Jesus Christ as a Redeemer? Turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. John saw the Lord Jesus Christ come walking up to him, and the Holy Spirit descended and sat upon him. What do you see? Galatians chapter 3, look down in verse 13. Look down in verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you don't know exactly what to think about Jesus Christ or church or God or how all that stuff fits together. You don't exactly know. You're not sure whether evolution is true or the Bible is true or if the Bible is just a compiled book of fairy tales, and maybe you don't have much confidence in it. Well, I tell you what John the Baptist saw that day was he saw the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And when you're looking for Jesus Christ, you need to see Him as the Creator, but you need to see Him as the Redeemer. Because Galatians 3 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth upon a tree. You see, Jesus Christ is the Creator of all things, but you know what else He is? He is your Redeemer. Brethren, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've been to church. Maybe you've gone to church all your life. Maybe you think that you're a Christian. But you've never really trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior like the Bible says you ought to trust Him. Maybe you think you're just a Christian because I got baptized when I was younger, because I went through the motions, because I my parents were Christians and my grandparents were Christians. In fact, all of my family is Christians. Brother, what do you see when you see Jesus Christ? Do you see Him as a Creator? Do you see Him as your Redeemer? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, you're currently under a curse. You're currently under a curse. You just take something as simple as the Ten Commandments. You take the Ten Commandments, and there isn't one of us in this building that can live up to just 10 of the commandments in the Old Testament, much less all the other ones. You ever lied? It's a sin against God. You ever been disobedient to your parents? Disrespectful to your parents? Not honored your parents? It's a sin against God. Right? You ever stole something? It's a sin against God. You ever just thought bad thoughts? It's a sin against God. You go down through that list, you go down through that list and folks, we know it very well. You say, well, I've never murdered anybody. But Jesus Christ in the New Testament said, if you hate your brother in your heart, you've committed murder already. You say, well, I've never committed adultery. Jesus Christ said, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you've committed adultery already with her. There isn't one of us that can stand up to any of the Ten Commandments. Brethren, we're all sinners. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, and I just ask you, what do you see when you see Jesus Christ? John was out there waiting for Jesus Christ to show up. He knew what he was looking for. All of a sudden, the Lord Jesus Christ comes walking up, and John sees the Holy Spirit come down and descend upon him like a dove and sets there over the top of him. And John knows that's the one. And that's the one we're talking about this morning. He's the Creator. And something else He is, He's a Redeemer. He's a Redeemer. 1 Peter 1:8 says this. It says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus Christ was the Redeemer. When you look, is that what you see? See, if you've never been born again, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior here this morning, when you look, like John looked, you ought to see Jesus Christ as the Creator. Give Him the power and the honor and the glory that He deserves. Recognize who He is and what He's all about. And when you look again, you take that second glance, you ought to see Jesus Christ as a Redeemer. And realize you need to be redeemed. You're under the curse of the law. You can't avoid it. You've already committed the sins. You've already been found guilty. Judgment has already been passed. It's already written down and inscribed in the books up in heaven. You know, John Smith, guilty. You need a Redeemer. You need to see Jesus Christ as a Redeemer. And one more question about what you see. Do you see Christ as a judge? Do you see Christ? John saw Christ. You and I need to see Christ, Creator, Redeemer, and a judge. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Do you see Jesus Christ as a judge? Do you realize one of these days we must stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? One way, form, fashion, or another, make things simple, we have to stand before Him and be judged. Do you see Jesus Christ? How many of you thought about Jesus Christ as a judge? Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, another very familiar passage of Scripture. John saw Jesus Christ walking that day, and what he saw was an amazing sight. Revelation chapter 20, look down at verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell were delivered up, and the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Question number one this morning is just simply this. Do you see? Do you see Jesus Christ? Do you see Him as the Creator? Do you see Him as the Redeemer? And finally, do you see Him as the Judge? Do you see Him as a Judge? If you're sitting here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to see Him as all three of those things, brethren. You need to come to the realization, when John saw the Lord Jesus Christ walking down the path that day, and he saw the Holy Spirit come down out of heaven and descend upon him, John knew who he was. John knew who he was. See, he saw Jesus Christ in a different light that day. Right? Because that was his cousin, right? It was his cousin. I'm sure he'd probably seen him before. But he saw him differently that day. He saw Jesus Christ different. Let's turn back to the book of John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1. Take a look at our text back down at verse 34. And I saw. Have you seen? 134. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. You know what John did? John did something very simple. John was sitting down there baptizing folks, getting ready, and the Holy Spirit came down, descended upon Jesus Christ, and John saw who he was. And then you know what he did after that? After he realized who Jesus Christ was? He says he went about and he bore record. He bare record. And that's the question. The second question I'd like to ask you this morning is just simply this. Do you bear record for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you bear record for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you bear record as a witness? You see, once you've seen Him, you can't hide. Once you've seen Him as the Creator, as a Redeemer, as a Judge, and you've trusted Him as your Savior, you can't hide. Things are not the same anymore. You've got to say something about it. Hey, I found the Redeemer. I found the Messiah. Right? You can't hide. Do you bear record of the Lord Jesus Christ? In Acts chapter 4, the Bible says this. It says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Paul, in telling of his conversion in the book of Acts, in chapter 22, said, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. In Acts 26, again, he said, but rise, this is Jesus talking to Paul the apostle, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee. Brethren, you have to see Jesus Christ. And John saw Jesus Christ and who he was. And then John turned about and bore record of who he was. Do you bear record of Jesus Christ as a witness? 1 Timothy 4 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Brethren, we got a witness. We have to bear record and witness. We have to bear record by producing fruit. We have to bear record, brethren. You start witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, you actually get to that point. Maybe you're young in your Christian life. Maybe you've never really taken up the cross and bore it before and got out there and tried to open your mouth publicly or even to your friends for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it's something that you're just not very comfortable with. John, once he saw Jesus Christ, bore record of who he was. And brethren, you and I need to follow the same pattern. And you know, you get out there, and it's scary. And it's tough. And sometimes you have a tendency to maybe feel a little ashamed, which you shouldn't be. But once in a while, the devil gets in there and gets a hold of you. Do you know what, brethren? You get out there and you overcome that. You start opening your mouth for the Lord Jesus Christ. You start speaking up and letting people around you know that you're a Christian. Trying to get them saved, trying to get the gospel to them. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to bear fruit. You're going to bear fruit. Now, I know that, you know, there's a lot more to bearing fruit than just winning souls. Brethren, there's bearing fruit in your own personal life. Have you bore record of Jesus Christ in your own life? Maybe in some of the character flaws that you had or used to have. Hopefully used to have. Brethren, we're supposed to bear record. Bear record. It's important that we bear record. And our lives as a Christian should shine. And we should be changed. We should be changed. Turn to Luke very quickly. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, look down at verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, after that thou shalt cut it down. Brethren, Jesus Christ desires that we bear fruit. He desires that we bear fruit. And you know what can happen? We can become complacent later on in our Christian lives and kind of back off and slow down because, after all, we're getting older and I'm not as young and energetic as I used to be. And you can stop bearing fruit in your old age. But, brethren, we're supposed to bear fruit. John saw Jesus Christ walking down the path, and the first thing that he did is he saw who Jesus Christ really was. And if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you need to take that step and see and realize just exactly who Jesus Christ was. And as a Christian, bear record and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to bear fruit. We need to bear fruit. We need to tell other folks. Brethren, we need to bear fruit in our own lives. John 4 says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereupon ye bestow no labor. Other men labored, and ye entered into their labors. Brethren, bearing fruit. You never know whether you're going to be sowing or reaping. But we're called to bear fruit. In John 15, the Bible says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. John was out there doing what John was supposed to be doing. The Lord Jesus Christ comes by and John sees who he is. And that day, things change. That day, things change. He sees Jesus Christ in a new light. And then he goes about and he bears fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you bear record? Do you bear record of the Lord Jesus Christ by your marks? By your marks. Turn to Galatians chapter 6 real quick. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, look down at verse 4. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have the rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. Go down to verse 17. From thenceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Just two simple questions here, and that is, do you see the Lord Jesus Christ? And do you bear record of the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul said here in Galatians 6, verse 17, he said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you've been a Christian for very long at all, there should be some marks that you bear. There should be some things that mark you as different than the way you used to be. There should be some things that mark you as different than maybe others around you. Brethren, you should bear some marks. There's some things that should mark you as a Christian. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And Philippians, Paul says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I should win Christ. Paul bore marks. There was a definite mark that he was a Christian. I think of a gentleman, Richard Wormbrand. He was born in 1909, and he actually died in 2001, not too long here ago, and a lot of you know about him already. But Richard Wormbrand was a pastor over in Romania. And when the communists in 1945, the communists seized power, and a million invited Russians came into the country, and Pastor Wormbrand started his ministry, and he had witnessed to those Russian soldiers. And the same year there was a Congress of the Cults that the communists set up in 1945, a Congress of the Cults, and it was organized by the Romanian communist government, And almost all the big name religious leaders came to that assembly. And they all stepped one by one, took turns stepping up to the podium and started praising the merits of communism. These are the Christian leaders in Romania. Because they didn't have enough courage to stand up to what was going on. One by one, these Christian leaders walked up to that pulpit of this supposed, conference and stood up and started talking about the merits of communism. And they turned their back on the Lord Jesus Christ and wouldn't stand up for him. And Richard Wurmbrand and his wife were both sitting there during that event. And Sabrina, his wife, looked over at him and said, "Richard, stand up and wash away the shame from the face of Christ." And he looked over and he said, "If I do, you'll lose your husband." And she said, "I do not wish to have a coward as a husband." And Richard got up in front of that congregation, that group of people, over 4,000 delegates, and he did his duty to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. On February 29th in 48, the secret police arrested Richard Wurmbrand while he was on his way to his church. And they took him to their headquarters, and he was locked up in solitary confinement, and he was labeled prisoner number one. I think he was in that first time in prison for about 8 years under that communist regime. About 8 years experiencing torture. And if you've never had the opportunity as a Christian to read, it's a little book too. It's called Tortured for Christ. Brethren, you got to read that book. That'll do something for you. But he was in prison, I believe it was about 8 years that first time. And a Christian doctor, masquerading as a Communist Party member, came through and discovered him alive in prison and actually started doing some work. And Richard was actually released in 1956. And he was warned never, never to preach again. He went through just unbelievable tortures while he was in prison. And despite the tortures that he went through and the warnings never to preach again, as soon as he got out of prison, brethren, he went back and started preaching again in the underground church in Romania. He was rearrested in 1959 through the conspiracy of an associate of his, a friend. And he was sentenced to 25 years the second time. He was accused of preaching ideas contrary to the communist doctrine. He was finally released, brethren, in 1964 because of pressure from the West. In 1964. I've got at home on my computer, I've actually got a little video clip of him. Early on, I don't know what year the video clip was made, but early on he was up and speaking about some of the things that had happened to him when he was in prison. And he stood up from behind the desk that he was at, and I mean, he apologized for it right up front, but he stood up and he took his shirt and pulled off his shirt. And you know what you saw, brethren? You saw the marks of a Christian. You saw the marks of a Christian. I kept that video. Because it reminds me, I really haven't given that much for my Savior. I really haven't given that much for my Savior. Paul bore the marks of Jesus Christ. You and I as Christians ought to bear some marks. We ought to bear record. John saw Jesus Christ coming down that path and that trail and said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And then it says he bore record. He bore record. Do you see Jesus Christ this morning? Do you see Jesus Christ? 1 Peter 4 says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." 1 Peter 5 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." You know what? It's not too much for the Lord to ask us to take a little reproach. Take a little laughing at, a little jeering, a little jesting, a little, you know, being the oddball at the work picnic and that sort of thing. It's not too much to bear record for the Lord Jesus Christ by marks. Do you bear the marks of being a Christian? I'll wrap things up here. Two simple questions. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, and maybe you're lost. Maybe you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. See, John was in that category. John had never really seen Jesus Christ in that light before. He knew about Him. He knew who He was. He was a cousin. He knew some facts, a few things, but he didn't really see who He was. He didn't really see. And that day when the Lord Jesus Christ came down there and the Holy Spirit of God descended and sat upon Him, John saw Jesus in a completely different light. And if you're sitting here this morning and you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, what I'm asking you to do, I'm asking you to see Jesus Christ in a different light. I'm asking you to see Him as a Creator, the one that made the universe. I'm asking you to see Him as a Redeemer, one that will take your sins away. And see Him as a judge, one that you'll have to stand before at some point in time in the future and be judged by. And brethren, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and had your sins washed away, if you've never seen Him as the Redeemer, you're going to see Him as a harsh judge. As a harsh judge. For Christians, do you bear record? John saw, once he realized who he was, he went about and he bore record of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have the marks of being a Christian? Let's stand. Take your hymnals, return to number 163. 163.
Thank you.
right, folks, you can be dismissed. We'll see you back at 6 o'clock this evening. Have a good afternoon. Bye.